X-Men. Oh, now you're adding words to the X-Men song. X-Men 97 premiered today. Today, March 20th on Disney Plus, a Marvel animation show is here. Two episodes have premiered. We've seen them. We're going to talk about them, except we're going to do two parts. Don't be scared. No spoilers for part one. We're going to help you just real quick. What should I watch before I watch this new series? And then part two will be a deep dive, full spoilers, both episodes. We're going to just hit the characters, what happened, predict what will happen next time, and that'll be the episode. X-Men 97. So excited. Logan here, Scotty Scoop, Andy the Giggler, Sam the Sleeper, and Danny Patron here for a big nerdy round table for the snack. Thanks for joining us. X-Men the animated series. Guys, this show came out in 1992. That's right. Ran through 1997. And there's a couple lists out there of that I've referenced of what should I watch before X-Men 97. All right, that was like a big question. Like, there's so many episodes. There are five seasons of the original series, and there's a lot. There's like 18 to 20 plus episodes per season. So I just wanted to focus on the characters that you'll wanna focus on heading into X-Men 97. Give some general recaps. And you know, full spoiler alert for the original series. Unfortunately, if you're not looking for spoilers, we're gonna spoil some stuff that happened in that 90s show. The biggest thing that you need to know coming out is at the end of the series, the X-Men say goodbye to Charles Xavier. Professor X dies, he's murdered, and one theme from the series that always is tried and true to X-Men is the prejudice against X-Men, and they've always kind of compared it and used it to be a vehicle for a dialogue with the same discrimination you see against the LGBTQ community and the trans community, also AIDS community, like at the time, you know, when the show's in the 90s, like mm-hmm. that was a big part of what they were doing. So a lot of that is coming right back. Sentinels, what are those? The X-Men killing machines from the future. Those are a big part of the original series. That's going to be important for the next one. And a big villain that's in the original show, Mr. Sinister. So this is the original, one of the original big villains that we hear is probably going to be making a comeback, and we'll do that big spoiler-filled review of the show here shortly. Before we do that, let's do a quick focus on the previous series and talk about our memories of it, overall thoughts, and keep it moving. Scotty Scoop, let's start with you. X-Men, the original animated series.
Man, this was, it was in my wheelhouse. I was, you know, 12 years old, coming home from school, watching it. Man, it was so awesome.
Epic.
So good.
So fun, colorful, action-packed. Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
Who else?
Some of my favorite.
Who's the next biggest fan here? Anybody else as excited as I was? Because I was counting down the days to this new show. Who's next in line?
When you said, hey, you get X-Men 97, watch those two episodes. I was like, okay, you know, fine, I can watch it, easy. I turn it on, and I think it took me like 90 seconds into the show, and a nostalgia bomb mm-hmm. just went off and unlocked so many memories.
Like, and you went to the new series immediately.
Okay. I went in thinking I watched some of this when I was little and whatnot, and first 90 seconds, you know, and then when, you know, Cyclops pops up, and I was like, the bomb went off in my head. I was like, I kind of remember, like, I swear I played like an X-Men video game back in the 90s.
Oh, they had the side scroller, the four person arcade game.
The arcade game. Yeah. I just remember, I was like, this is a nostalgic bomb, like, going off in my head. And I was sucked in from that moment on, you know?
Hell yeah, man. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, so I was a huge fan of this as a kid. I had action figures. I actually rewatched this when it came to Disney Plus, when they launched Disney Plus during like 2020, thinking I hadn't seen as many episodes as I had, and watching, you know, the Jean Grey Phoenix saga, rewatching like episodes with Mojo, all the Sentinel stuff, Morph's trajectory in that, kind of the old version of him. All like things I had seen and loved, and, you know, used to play with toys. And so, you know, we'll talk about the new one, but it's awesome. And it feels like a continuation.
Round us out, Giggler. on the original.
Absolutely love that. Yeah, this was every Saturday morning, just little Giggler waking up ready for X-Men. I mean, this definitely one of my favorite cartoons growing up, for sure. And I really wanted to rewatch all of these, kind of like some of you boys did, for sure, coming up to this, but I only got to go through fully season one. So I think I'm going to, it's episodic every week, so I got plenty of time to catch up. Maybe I'll get there by maybe the third or fourth episode. But yeah, this motivated me to do complete, if there's any doubt, to finish a full rewatch of the original seasons. That's going to definitely happen after watching these episodes today.
Hell yeah, nice job, guys. And same feelings here as a young person watching this show. It was one of my top favorite superhero shows, for sure. So was counting down the days to see it come back. The episode you need to watch, I'll have this linked up in our episode. I saw this list from The Nerdist, one of the many publications out there. They posted a nice one. You can find a lot of these lists, and they're all going to be around these characters we mentioned. You know, Mr. Sinister, those are good episodes to watch. Magneto, maybe the introduction of that character would be very helpful. Anything with Jean Grey, there's so much that happens with Jean Grey in the X-Men series, probably the most. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, her Phoenix saga and the Dark Phoenix saga. All combined, I mean, she has like 8 to 12 episodes, I think, that like take over this show. So obviously going to be a major part is Jean Grey. Morph, they've brought back and as a full-time person, and also help me out, the time traveler
Bishop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bishop. My god, I mean, he was probably easily one of my favorite characters in the original series. Yeah. That long black hair, just full-on muscles, all the muscles, a lot of curves. This is, you know, the original show didn't pull a lot of punches when it came to,
we all know,
certain body projections.
We all know
this is what you want to be in the 90s, trust us. Okay, so that's the original show. Go check out the link in our profile to read the list of episodes that you should check out before you watch X-Men 97. And now, full spoiler alert for the first two episodes of season one, X-Men 97. Let's do it. X-Men 97. Get ready for nostalgia. Get ready for some familiar faces. Get ready for some continuity from the original series. Full spoiler alert right now. Let's talk about these episodes. And you have to do the same thing that the show does. The opening intro is back. The music is here.
Yeah, they redid it, but it's still the same.
What were you thinking? What were you feeling?
I was like, man, it's been updated.
It's newer. It's
new.
Fresher. It's Jubilee. Fresh, looks extra word. Colors. Yes. Yeah. Why, freshened up.
Why do they even have the skip intro button? Just cancel.
No. Cancel.
Oh, yeah. You're not a fan. You should skip that intro.
And to be fair, I was on a time crunch this second.
It's fun.
I skipped fair. The second one.
I picture them in the meeting room going, like, no one's skipping this. No one's skipping these. And, like, it was so satisfying to go from episode one straight to episode two. Yes. A two-episode release is so nice. And my thought was, will it be a little different? And it was a little different from
a little bit,
just a little bit. They kind of work in something new to like keep you coming back. This is going to be one of those intros that you'll not skip because you don't want to look away. But by the time you've watched 9 episodes of this and you've heard that song, it'll be the same as the original show. Probably get this out of my head. Really good to get the show back onto the screen. It is sharp. We've already given that spoiler alert. Let's just talk about where the episode goes. I just don't want to waste any time right into this story. The last thing we saw, again, Professor X dies. That's where this show picks up. Professor X has died. The X-Men are kind of left to like go, what happens? Scott Summers, Cyclops, looks so epic. I mean, just his that outfit looks so colorful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His voice is so
classic
awesome.
Blue with the white or the yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah.
That's the part that got me on this nostalgia part.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's got
there it is.
He's the leader of the X-Men. He's the
assumed we're like
leader.
3 months removed, I think.
Yeah.
Is what they said.
They do a good job of like the death certificate for Professor X with like the date on it.
I wrote it down.
November 11th?
11/11. 96.
96. So it's been a few months, and Scott's like, I'm doing this. A lot of the team's already like falling apart, like Wolverine. Hanging on by a thread, outside playing hoops, you know, not paying attention. And Jean Grey is pregnant.
Yeah.
Whoa. Never happened in the series. I don't think it's happened in the comics. Has this happened before? Are you familiar with a pregnant Jean Grey story?
I'm pretty sure they've had
yes.
children at some point.
Yes, they have.
I mean, Cable is their son, so he's a character. You know, he's in the original series, and so it's happened in different ways. It usually doesn't end well in the comics, but we'll see.
Yeah, and Cable a major player in the first original series for sure. Did he play their son in that series?
Yeah, I mean,
did they reveal that?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
It's like a comic thing sometimes.
Yeah, he's from the future.
You know what the show did a decent job of? It was small, but I noticed that is if you're so far removed from like 92 or what, you know, you just say you just fell off the face of the planet for 20 something, 30 years. They introduce each person and like what their power is just slightly enough. We were like, you could jump into the show with no knowledge and they give you just enough to understand, okay, Storm has abilities that she can control. What, you know what I mean?
Yes. And they snuck in lines even about like kind of reminding you. And
yep.
We have a new character in the show too. Do you remember the name of the new kid, the new character, the kid that they end up taking in?
That's not a new character. That's Roberto Da Costa. That's Sunspot.
And he's in the show before?
He wasn't in the show, but I mean, he's a known guy. He was in the New Mutants.
But new to X-Men, the show.
Yeah, new to X-Men, the show.
Okay, yeah. Because like, new to me, like as a watcher of the animated series, I was like, I don't know who this guy is.
Okay.
I don't know where it's going. And then like, you kind of learned about his powers at the end, which you said he's Sunspot.
Sunspot, yeah.
Okay.
You know, kind of like the Human Torch.
And he's like, I'm rich. He said he's rich.
Yeah,
he's single.
Super rich.
He's flirt with Jubilee.
Anybody's seen New Mutants, that didn't do very well.
Oh yeah, I saw it.
He was character in that.
Okay. All right. You know what I really liked in this show? Cyclops, they like start showing his eyes a little bit in the visor. He's like looking like side to side. I was like, whoa, whoa, I can see his pupils.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, I don't remember. Yeah.
I thought the show came out swinging. Like the quips are hilarious. I think the writing was strong. The action was so fun. Right off the bat, it's like, you know, oh man, here come the X-Men. Sentinels in the
friends
building.
Of humanity stealing the or kidnapping. You know, they got there's bounties on mutants.
$10,000.
Yeah, $10,000 a mutant. And who was it? Storm and Bishop.
Yep.
Show up right off the bat.
Oh, man, these guys got Sentinel guns on their arms. They got a Sentinel arm in the factory. Mm-hmm. The tensions of the human-mutant battle are at an all-time high right now. Like, it's like all anybody's talking about. It's top priority. And now mutants are being like they're getting killed again, just getting killed in the street, getting targeted for money. And then they're doing a good job too of like sharing like the human side of the experience too. Like there's a couple lines where it's like, you never realized that by existing
leaving us behind.
You're leaving us behind. You know what that feels like? And I'm like, I guess that is kind of true.
If you're
like,
right.
I'm not a mutant. You know, it's like I'm not part of the evolutionary cycle. What else happens? We go Rogue is back.
Sugar.
She got her white hair and sounds good. Gambit's here. A little bit upgraded look, a little bit different hairstyle.
Yeah. He's got the crop top.
The crop top with the man V. Like the man V we're
beignets.
All trying to get. The what?
The beignets.
He's making beignets. And Scott's like, all he cares about are his beignets.
He's like, you could have one right here.
Scott and Jean, you know, they're like planning an escape too.
Yeah, they're gonna quit the team.
Quit the X Men. I mean, I love Scott's response to Jean being like, "Listen, I'm pregnant. Maybe we should leave." Scott's response was, "What? You want to leave the X Men?" Like he could not fathom.
Yeah, he's an OG.
I loved it. I loved it. It felt like legit to the character. You know, they got the backwards hat on him. You know, toward the end of the episode, we meet the Beast. We got the Beast back. You know, that's great. Again, the writing is sharp. It's like they took out the corniness of the original show. Like the original show was a 90s, you know, cartoon. It was patched together with.
And
like,
when you
scene
watch
scene.
It, you can feel it's dated for sure.
This is sharp, man.
Yeah.
This makes me think
there
of
is a couple. There is one line that's like just got me with Cyclops. He's like, "Scary enough for you, bub." I was like, I don't know why that.
Oh,
got me.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And he has his claws. He meets the new guy in the
danger room. Roberto.
Roberto.
Bobby.
Yeah. And he's like, he's scaring him. I liked it. The they show him with his like shirt off, and he's like very hairy.
Yeah.
Which like in the original show, it'd just be like skin and muscle. Yeah. All right. Like I'm like, okay, they're doing things
with like the Homer Simpson like three lines on his chest. Like that implies hairiness.
Yeah. Like, this is what it's like when adults talk about this show. All right, Dan, let's check in with you. How are you feeling on episode one?
Yeah, so I think for me, the first thing that stood out was the change in the action sequences. Like, it's so much more fluid. They're doing so many more things. Like, in that first battle where Scott or Cyclops is using his laser beam to move around. Like,
yeah,
he's like gliding,
up,
using
man.
It to push.
That was so awesome.
That was, like, that was so cool. And I just, you can see that, like, with modern technology, they're just able to do so much more in these action sequences and utilize, like, different variations of their powers and how they could use them in ways that you know get in comics, but it's, you know, paneled out, so it's not as fluid as you see in the show. They're always doing cool things, but then like I even think like Storm, all the stuff she's doing, there's a part later in the episode where, you know, she like shows up and the lightning's coming down and the sand's becoming diamonds and it's crystallizing because the lightning's hitting it. Just all the action stuff for me, I was like, wow, this has the feel of the original, but is able to execute on the action part so much better. I will say some of the voices are a little different than I remember. Some are similar, some are different. Stood out a little bit at first because, you know, I watched this so much as a kid that you just have in your mind what is supposed to come out of that character's mouth, and it's slightly different, but I adjusted to it really quickly and am really enjoying the show.
They got a lot of the original
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, to come back.
I paused on that on the end on the cast list, but well said, Dan. The action, that's all I was thinking, was like, man, this is the X-Men show that you were like, I mean, this is why they brought it back. They're like, think about what we can do now. Mm-hmm. Like, think about these characters like in a what if, like Invincible mm-hmm. style. Mm-hmm. Like, we can really do this. And I saw that part with Storm making the glass like in the desert, and I thought, oh, that's cool. And then they doubled down. And she used the glass and in the twister as a weapon. And I was like,
yeah.
Nothing gone like to waste.
Yeah, that was sick.
Like, that was so I was like, I was getting goosebumps, dude. I mean, when the show first came on in the first 10 seconds and they just started doing the pans of like the city shots, I had goosebumps. I was like, wow, that's it. Like, we are back. Like, just like that, we are back.
Yeah. There was one thing I noticed watching that first episode. It's Roberto.
Roberto, yeah.
His voice acting in the beginning of that episode was like kind of subpar. I felt like I was like, this guy feels new. And then I feel like by the end, he had like figured it out. Yeah. I didn't notice it at all. But that first like 5 minutes, I was like, shh, sounds
they're
like
probably like a year apart or something. You know, he's like, I was just getting started.
No, it got way better by the end. I was like, okay, this guy's figured it out. It's kind of like being on a podcast.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, I want to hear from you too, but we'll get to the end of the episode one and we'll get your thoughts on the first episode before we move on to the second one. So it ends with Scott and Jean being like, we're out of here. I've got my backwards hat on. He looks so cool. Scott Summers, which is the cool. I was like, man.
Oh, it's not me. You know.
Oh, you're the second cool Scotty. Okay. I know now. You were first, but they've done a good job with the Scott Summers. The will and testament of Professor Xavier leaves the X-Men and the mansion and everything to Magneto.
Yeah.
And that is the cliffhanger for episode one. Holy crap.
Yeah, they're playing basketball and Beast gets the proximity alert.
And they
on
all
Charles's office. They're like, hey, what's going on? They bust in there, like ready to scrap.
They gave us the first mislead of Magneto being in the show where they were in the training module it's like him up there with his helmet. And I was like, this can't be it. And it wasn't. Yeah. This is it. Long flowing white hair, the smoothest voice. This guy is sexy, okay? They made Magneto extra sexy in this show, and they're doubling down on it.
I'm into it.
In episode two.
Old man sexy is back.
And this is where they take that 96, like 99, by 1996, the X-Men and Magneto and everybody are like, that's enough. And episode two, dude, oh my God, this is awesome, man. And now, a break. Hey squad, Logan here from Mostly Superheroes, wanting to talk to you today about some real life heroes. Team Jakey, headquartered here in St. Louis, Missouri. They're turning the tragedy of losing their beloved Jake Zeller into life-changing action. Not just by making a difference, but by saving lives. Team Jakey supports both the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and Provident Behavioral Health here in St. Louis. Join us at their annual Gentleman Jake Memorial Cornhole Tournament. It's more than just a game. It's a community coming together to lift each other up with some of the world's best prizes. If you're feeling down or know someone who is, Team Jakey's here with a message of hope. Reach out by calling 988. You can also visit www.afsp.org or text TALK to 741-741. You're not alone, and there's always a way forward. Someone's waiting for your call or text message. Search for Team Jakey on Facebook and learn more at www.mostlysuperheroes.com/give. Every bit helps, and together, we can make a difference. If you listen to the podcast, you know that before and after the show, when we're hungry or craving some beers or some live music, we usually end up at The Gramophone in The Grove here in St. Louis, Missouri. It's our spot for the best sandwiches in St. Louis, like the epic classic The Jive, stacked with roasted turkey, thick-cut bacon, Swiss, lettuce, tomato, avocado spread, and pepper mayo on a toasted baguette. Don't skip the sides. Nothing beats Big Willie's homemade mac and cheese. It's the sidekick that never, ever lets you down. Plus, with daily specials, there's always something new to celebrate. So come join us at 4243 Manchester Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63110 at The Gramophone and tell them that Mostly Superheroes sent you. Visit www.gramophonestl.com for their full menu and more. The Gramophone, where heroes hang out. All right, back to the show. Magneto is a superhero now?
Yeah, he's saving people. There's a huge incident on Coney Island.
Yeah, Ferris wheel.
With the Ferris wheel breaking down.
Like a Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer vibes.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
The news is covering it. They're like, the mutant terrorist, now hero.
Yeah. He's been saving people all over the planet or the country or whatever.
And Andy, I skipped you. What were you feeling on that first episode? I mean,
look at this shirt.
You got the Magneto on your chest.
This is a young, this is not sexy grandpa Magneto. I think this is younger Magneto.
That's not Silver Fox.
Yeah, Silver Fox Magneto. But I mean, yeah, that was an amazing ending. Like the whole episode, I was like, this is just vomiting nostalgia everywhere. I love it every second of it. And then kind of during it, I was like, well, I want to see like what's the overarching like story of this whole season, like what's going to happen. And then they drop this on us, and I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Oh, and man, where does it go in episode two? This is where they're like, we're going to take that X-Men story and we're going to finally like give it its day. And I feel like we're like getting to the days now before where like we learned with Martin and Apotheosis Comics a few weeks ago. Like the X-Men, like I haven't read any of the X-Men comics, so I don't really know where it all goes. But there's like a world, right, where the X-Men like kind of figure it out and like they become kind of like part of the world. This is kind of like starting to feel like that a little bit. Why do I say that? Magneto is summoned by the UN, and Magneto is trying to prove to the X-Men and to me that
I'm a good guy now.
He's a hero.
Yeah.
He's got the suit, the big M. This super suit is crazy. Is that out of the comics?
Yeah, it is.
Epic. Yeah. It's epic.
Oh, wait till you see the white suit.
Oh, don't even. This is it. This show is doing it, man. This is scratching
a lot
the
is
it.
Happening.
I know.
In two episodes.
Think of what they can do, too, like with just so many cameos, like how many there were in that five seasons of just MCU characters that are actually not X-Men. Like,
so,
they've got the rights to all
the animated characters.
Yeah, yeah.
They can put anybody they want in there.
And we're getting hints of Spider-Man in this show on the Daily Bugle, like flowing by. Was it a Daily Bugle newspaper? I don't remember.
Yeah, you could see Eddie Brock.
It was in the show.
Peter Parker's name on it.
Oh, interesting.
Eddie Brock too?
Mm-hmm. On this show.
So yeah, this show.
Or maybe
show,
that, was that just a trailer, said, or was that in the first two episodes?
It was in the first two episodes.
Oh,
also.
I missed it.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch that again.
I think it's like in the beginning of like the first episode or the second episode. It's one of them, and I saw it fly by, and I was like, there it was. Is Spider-Man a mutant? Is what the headline says.
Yep. Exactly. I think it says something about the Hellfire Gala on it as well.
Mm. Oh, I missed that completely.
All right, so what happens in the story? Magneto says, I mean, he's saving people. He's like, I am going to do what Professor X said. I'm going to not kill anymore. because I'm done with that, and I'm the leader of the X-Men, and the X-Men, everyone says it, right? He did this for a reason. Like, Professor X is a smart guy. This is one of his oldest friends. They started this school together. He's the leader. UN gets him to a trial, and he's standing trial in front of this group of people, and this is the most, like, well-written, intricate trial where they break down, like, both sides. They Magneto gives a really epic speech about the decisions he's made over the years attacking people, and that every decision he has made has always been a reaction to a persecution, mm-hmm. and
avenging
something that's happened to his people. He's like, and it's literally what you're doing to me right now in this trial, so you understand. And I mean, it's super powerful. It's like, okay, man, yeah, you got to convince everybody. Like, what is Magneto's game here? You know, like, no one really knows.
Right. Is it just a power grab?
Is it like,
or is he being genuine?
Yeah. In the back of your head the entire time, you're like, when is this going to, going
to
flip?
Him going to the UN was a huge thing. Him, like, not fighting the helicopter.
Oh, yeah. They were like, oh, you don't stand a chance against us and our plastic guns.
This part of the
episode. You should have thought about that. He was like, oh, you think?
Oh, I love the lines in this. He's like, I shouldn't have second guessed you or whatever he says. I'm like, this is slick.
Yeah. And then he's got the helicopters and he's.
This could have been like a finale. My voice keeps cracking. It's nice. But it could have been a finale in and of itself. If you like look at, there's just so much on these two episodes.
Two first episodes.
Keep it up, please.
Yeah.
What's he do next? He ends up like there's people riot in the streets.
Oh, the Friends of Humanity.
The Friends of Humanity
breaking
are
in.
Because they're like, you can't put this monster on trial. Like, how are you? Like, is that what it is? It's like they're after Magneto. They want to kill Magneto.
Well, and they know the X-Men are in there.
Yes.
Like, you know, we want to take out mutants. And they've got their super mutant killer, whatever his name is.
Who is that? That's what I was going to ask you.
I can't remember his name.
Somebody's got to look it up.
Come on, guys.
He said his name. He said his name.
Something with a D.
He's like the destroyer. It was
Executioner?
That's what he called himself, but I watch it on subtitles, and they kept saying Deca or Decta. I don't remember.
Is that the that's the guy you're talking about, right?
He calls himself the Executioner at one point.
Carl Denti.
Denti? This part of the show.
Yeah, he's like the lead.
I don't know if it was purposeful, but I felt like there were some parallels to like the insurrection capital.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
I don't know what date that was.
January 6th?
January 6th.
January 6th. It was a dark day. I don't know.
It was.
Try to forget.
We're all trying
X-Men's
to move
like,
on.
X-Men's like, remember that. These guys, they bust in. They break into the place. And, I mean, they shoot this gun. They finally get, like, kind of all the way in. During all this chaos, Jean goes into labor. And Wolverine
is only at home with Wolverine.
And Wolverine's like, oh, crap. And she like uses her powers to like throw him
like,
his jacket and
here.
His keys.
He's here. And Wolverine
goes,
who? Who? Who is it?
Apocalypse?
I'll take him out, bub.
We really skipped over the epic battle scene in episode one where, you know, everything happened. And they took down the whole army of Sentinels.
Oh, yeah, with Bolivar Trask. One of the, I think.
The biggest. One of the biggest.
Out of the two episodes, like, the coolest thing that I saw was when the Sentinel ripped the top off the Blackbird and everybody's just going everywhere. Oh. And I was like, who's going to grab Cyclops? He didn't need to be grabbed.
You know what he said? Meet you guys on the ground.
Yeah. I was like, holy
which I
want to
know the
crap
physics
that was
of that.
He's like, initiate eye thrusters.
Yeah, that would have blown his head back for sure. But man, with the superhero landing there, that was badass. Yeah,
and then lighten up his Wolverine's claws with Gambit's, you know, powers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, oh, and then Morph turning into Blob and shooting him into the Master Mold.
That was awesome. He's like belly up. Belly up, Morph.
I think Morph became my favorite in this one.
He changed into Archangel.
How many people?
I don't remember anything about him from the others.
He changed into Wolverine's ex-lover in episode two.
Lady Deathstrike.
Yes.
Oh.
And then, like...
He was Psylocke at one point.
He was Psylocke. Yep.
Nice, Dan.
Yeah.
Yep.
He posed as Jean Grey for a minute to
Professor X.
Professor X at the very beginning.
Wolverine. That was pretty savage.
Does Morph get the powers, or is it all imitation? Does he get the powers of whoever he morphs
into?
You know,
typically in the past, it was just appearance and voice. But it really seemed to me like he was getting the powers.
That's what I thought.
Like, he seemed like really tough.
Yeah. Like when he turned into the blob and, you know, shot him off his belly.
I do put into question that power a little bit, because isn't Gambit's power basically like, I can make this thing light up and then it's an explosive.
He can charge inanimate objects with kinetic energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. I just thought they always had to blow up.
They usually explode.
Like, he usually lights them up, and he's like, now it's going. Now you blow it up. Like, you lit up the cracker, you threw it out, it blew up.
The beignet.
The beignet.
Yeah. Mon ami.
So, whenever he lit up his claws, I was just like, it's cool, but, like,
but
why is
he put
Wolverine
it out? Wolverine exploding?
Yeah, why doesn't he blow
up? Or maybe he did blow up.
And he healed.
And he healed
maybe
super
those
fast.
Claws are indestructible.
I mean, they animantium.
Exactly.
All right, so back that's to back to episode. Oh, go ahead, Andy.
No, I said that's it. That's that.
That's
what
the reason.
They call it the fastball.
The fastball special is usually Wolverine and Colossus or Beast. Yeah.
He turned into Colossus too. Morph did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did he?
Oh yeah.
He did.
I went like this. Was Colossus.
Sweet. Oh yeah,
is
that's
here.
Right.
And I was like, I was just like the characters that showed up. I couldn't believe it.
I love it.
All right, so they're in the big battle. Jean goes into labor. She goes to the hospital with Wolverine. Scott gets flown off by Rogue. Storm takes the bullet from the super gun to save Magneto.
Yeah.
And she has lost her powers.
Gone.
Dude.
The winds. I can't feel the
winds. I can't feel the rains. The air. Dude, this is crazy. I couldn't believe they did this in episode 2. But then I was like, all right, she'll be back.
The way the episode was going, I'm like, they're throwing everything at us. She's going to die. Wow!
I thought she was gonna die too.
Oh yeah, I thought they were totally going.
I thought it was like, "Hey, welcome to the Fun X Men movie."
Kill shot.
Yeah,
like it's really like surprising the Friends of Humanity like pulled it back a notch, and they weren't just trying to murder the mutants.
I thought they were gonna take a page out of Invincible. Like, this is a fun show. Get ready, and then death.
Yeah,
death. Like, two X Men are dead.
Yeah,
but no, she's just she's okay. She was like
depowered.
Depowered.
She'll get him back.
She wrote that really heart-touching letter, that letter to the X-Men. That was something, man. You just feel like these characters have just been, like, in every episode for, like years on end, and they're like, we've all been through it together.
Yeah.
Magneto takes the UN people, and he takes them to space.
Yeah, and, the upper atmosphere.
And it's like you can see their breath. You look down, you can see the earth, and he's like, listen, I would normally kill you. I would. I can't because we have to team up. Like, this planet is big enough for all of us. We have to stick together. And they turn in his favor. That's like where it reveals is like, all right, we're going to try. It was a major win, like, for mutants, essentially. He's like, they pardon Magneto, and the person on the news, the UN person, was like, and in addition to that, we're doing a lot more to bridge the gap, right? But he's like, it's not true. He's back at the X-Men compound. He's telling Scott, he's like, I know you and Jean are leaving, but you got to be, like, keep your head on a swivel. Like, this was a big win, but it's not over. And, like, I'm buying, like, everything this guy's saying.
Yeah.
100%. Like, yeah, you're the leader now.
And he's
they're going to play into that suspense the whole season.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Homelander when he's on screen and you just can't tell what the hell he's going to do at any given time.
This uneasiness.
Like, the whole time I'm just going to be like, when's he going to go bad?
Snap.
And
when's
how bad
gonna,
is it going to be?
When's he going to give the order to kill people?
Yeah, with
or,
some secret armor.
Or something crazy. And then the X-Men are going to have to turn against him and be like, we're not doing this.
And which side is Rogue going to choose?
Which side is Rogue going to choose? Because
sexy old man.
Yeah.
And Gambit
he can't say no to the Silver Fox. And Gambit, now we got a love triangle.
He's heartbroken.
Oh, yeah.
They're giving that speech at the end of episode 2. It's like, sometimes
Rogue does the walk of shame out of his office.
Right. Did they? Is that,
and
are we? We're
and
meant
Gambit
to
is like in the dark, like.
Is there sex in this X-Men show? The sex man.
The sex man.
That club scene. People were kissing, getting hot and heavy in that club.
Oh my God! The club scene was crazy.
Yeah,
Jubilee and
like
Roberto there
dancing. She's not hiding that she's a mutant at all.
Oh
club.
Yeah, she's just like pow 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 pow.
They're like, Roberto, they're gonna find you.
pew, pew, pew,
and
pew.
She's over here flaunting her.
Right. And he looks like a total normal guy, yeah, just like dancing in a club. And she's like, all right, well, I'll give you one dance. Bow, bow,
bow. Yeah. Rave. Raving.
Oh, man. That'd be fun to rave.
All right. What else do we learn? We learn, all right. So Gene is using Cerebro to interrogate the guy that killed Professor X.
Yes.
Anybody remember his name? I mean, they're definitely trying to help us out. They
Geirich.
Nice. And during
Henry Geirich.
During this investigation of his brain, she gets a lot of the answers of like, yeah, we're building Sentinels. We're tired of humans. I killed Professor X because I wanted to. And then also the craziest thing happens to her ever, and she like slips into some kind of like psychic thing where she's in an infinite graveyard. And there's a big monster that says something.
It was the Master Mold. I am Master Mold.
Master Mold. So what? Where did? But what happened?
I don't think that's Master Mold.
Right.
Like
what happened?
I'm pretty sure this is the Shadow King.
Okay.
You know, because he's
Mojo.
No. Mojo is his own thing.
Shadow
King is
separate
from Mojo. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
Shadow King. He's, you know, a brain villain.
He tends to plague like the telekinetic characters.
Yeah.
Like Jean Grey, Charles Xavier. I feel like he might have been in the old show at one point.
Yeah, I think
briefly.
He was.
I think he was. But yeah, he shows up in like kind of this alternate realm just about, and he's like the ruler there.
Nice, yeah, guys.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, so more to come on that for sure.
Yeah.
So in this episode 2, she has the baby. Scott made it there.
Nathan.
And
Rogue welcome has to steal the powers from the doctor.
Oh my god. I forgot
about that.
She's like,
I didn't know it worked that way.
I'm not delivering a mutant baby.
She just touches him for 5 seconds and she's a whole doctor.
I need you to get an IV started. And the nurses are just like, yeah, let's go.
Like,
she goes,
if I touch your baby, that's bad news. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's right.
That kept
you should probably wear gloves like most doctors do.
Yeah. I wondered if she stole that guy's knowledge. Did she just keep that knowledge?
No, it's temporary.
It's on
back.
A timer.
Man, and he looked messed up whenever she touched
him.
She's
like, sorry. And I was like, did she just steal that dude's PhD?
Yeah.
Her doctorate?
he works so hard for it. He's gone.
He's a vegetable now.
and baby Nathan's born.
Yep. Nathan Xavier.
Nathan Charles.
Charles.
Summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Summers.
Old Nate Charles.
Is that, who is that? Is that somebody?
That's Cable.
Yes. That is Cable?
Yeah.
That's like the same name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Way to go, Dan.
I know where this is going unless they change it. So I've read a lot of the comics. That's why I'm like kind of holding back with this cliffhanger.
I appreciate that because I'm like a real, I'm a little
kid.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
spoil it
right now.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Like, what's going to happen?
There are a number of Nathaniel Summers.
There are.
So we will see if this one is Cable.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. And then the big cliffhanger, I think this is where it leaves off. If anybody thinks of anything else, let me know. But, you know, they're Scott and Jean, they got the baby. They are thinking about leaving, but they're all there together with the X-Men.
We're like, but do we really want to leave this in the hands of Magneto?
That's the big
unchecked
question. Right. And Storm, you know, what happened to Storm, it's like, man, are we really going to leave now? Okay. There's a knock on the door. Open the door. Another Jean.
Jean Grey.
What does she say?
I am looking for the X-Men. And it's raining, it's soaking wet. The other Jean has the baby, Scott. Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Round tables, what to expect, and what you think so far, but mainly, like, we're looking forward. Without giving it away, if you know the answers, like Scott and Dan, probably. Let's start with you, Sam the Sleeper.
What I think?
Yep.
Honest to God truth, I was like, fine, I got to watch these two episodes. I like the X-Men, but I'm like I said earlier, could not remember that I even like watched the show, played video games. I am hooked now. I'm like, I just watched the show. Screw the podcast. I'm just going to watch the show.
I'm in.
That's what I think.
Giggler.
I'm in. All about X-Men ever since, spoiler alert, the end of the Marvels. Everyone has been kind of down that road of like the live action movies. When's that going to happen? But honestly, this is a great entrance into that for Marvel in an animated world that, I mean, they throw this nostalgia that so many of us are just like latching onto right now. They're they're going to kill it. And I think it's going to end up hopefully with kind of this, the X-Men blowing up in popularity, and then hopefully they, it translates to on screen, and maybe they bump that up a little faster. See the dollar signs with Disney and Marvel. We'll see, but I'm fine either way. Slow play it as they have been, or just get right to it. There's a lot of turmoil there, but this show is gonna crush, and I'm so excited for next week already. I wish there was more than one per week every week, but let's go.
Yeah, you drop them all at once. I'm watching it on a weekend, no doubt. Yeah. All right, Danny P, how about you?
So I love it. Feels like a great continuation. You know, I love what they've shown so far. Like I said, I do know a lot about the comics, so I'll keep away from where the cliffhanger is. But what I will say that is my prediction is that, and this is more of like a business prediction of how Disney is handling this, is that I bet Spider-Man shows up and we get a Spider-Man 90 whatever
98
announcement where they bring him back or the Avengers or something. I feel like there's gonna be a crossover, and if this does well, which I think it will, then they'll be like, oh, we're gonna bring back some of the other ones, you know.
Yeah,
that's my business decision.
There's
like,
no
prediction.
Reason not
is,
to
is anyone yeah. gonna doubt that this is gonna do well though? I don't know.
Well,
I have zero.
There are some doubters out there.
Yeah,
but few and far between, I think.
Tell us what you think, Scotty.
Yeah. I'm super excited for this to keep going. We get what, 8 episodes, 9 episodes?
I don't even know.
Something like
I honestly don't even know.
You could tell me it was 2, and I'd be like,
oh here.
Which is a big difference, obviously, from the original was like I think
10.
No, I think it was 10.
Sorry, yeah, there's 10 total.
The original, I think we were getting 20.
It was 12 in the first, and then I think it went up to 20, up to 23 max. I went through it today because I was counting up
10.
I could definitely see them capitalizing on this and making an Avengers, making anything really, to where they stagger these, and just like comic books, they could have an episode of something weekly,
yeah,
all year.
I mean, forever.
There's no reason not to.
The thing about this show is that they don't like X-Men can be the entry point for all of it.
Yeah.
And you know, Bishop's got the time travel cuff. They've made it clear that like we know about the time travel cuff. Like they've already put Jean bouncing around like cosmic different places.
Mm.
Anything can happen. That's what I got excited about, was like they're not scared to show you different people and different characters.
And then they, you know, oh, this happened in the original series and you missed it. Oh, well, they've got the time travel cuff and they retconned it. So
whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they changed how the characters like straight up look, and you know, like the styles have like things changed.
Some look a lot better and some are missing a little something.
And Bishop, was he there in the last episode of season 5?
I don't think so.
He was always like a recurring character. He'd pop up like
oh, you guys screwed up the past again.
But they did. Yeah. But they did a really good job. I kind of rewatched a lot of that show a few times at parts where they really kept track of like when the time travel happened, and then like okay, after that happened, you know, this guy that time travels noticed that happened, and then they had that epic crossover with Mr. Sinister being the big bad, and Apocalypse. That's not Apocalypse. It's
what happened, and I'll tell you which one it was.
Who's the mutant that lives forever? Purple.
That's Apocalypse.
It is Apocalypse. Yeah, and they had that big storyline. Man, I thought they nailed the time travel stuff. So thinking about how they'll do that in the present day show with like the MCU and stuff at play, and like what if at play.
Yeah,
like this is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've seen a little bit of a pause on these animated shows, the superhero animated shows from Disney. So I feel like this could be something that leads. Like when I think back to like when the original Avengers movie came out, there was a ton of stuff on like the Disney Channel that was coming out. They had an Avengers thing, then they launched Guardians of the Galaxy.
There was like Spider-Man and his super friends.
Yep.
And, yeah.
All kinds of things. And it's been a little, unless I'm just so far detached from like the Disney Channel and I don't have cable these days, I don't see it, but I don't see all the shows. So I'm wondering if from a business decision they said, okay, cool it down, we're going to go in this direction, this is the first thing that catapults these other things. I hope that's what they're doing.
Well, you know, and they've talked about not only just bringing back this X-Men 97, but they've said, you know, anything from the past is really on the table. So I know they had a lot of very popular. I know one of the Spider-Mans everybody loved. I can't remember which one it was.
The animated,
one of the later ones.
Yeah, it was one. It was one from like 2010.
Yeah.
I think it was like Drake Bell was the voice of Spider-Man, and then they had Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which was from around that same
that
timeline.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah,
I actually watched that one. Yep.
Yeah, bring him back.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Well, let's see. Hey, we're only two episodes in. We're this excited. Something's going right. And we'll be doing weekly recaps of each episode. So we'll take you all the way through every episode through the 10 episodes of the first season of X-Men 97. Marvel Animation is doing it, you know, a branch of Marvel Studios. This is streaming on Disney Plus. Go check it out and come back to Mostly Superheroes for your X-Men 97 catch-up. Mostly Superheroes is proud to be funded in part by our sponsors. Mostly Superheroes is funded in part by paying patrons who receive early, ad-free, and exclusive episodes. Subscribe at mostlysuperheroes.com/support. Thank you for supporting your favorite independent podcast. Mostly Superheroes is an independent podcast owned and operated by Kerrigan Ventures in St. Louis, Missouri. Hosted by Logan Janis, Andy Hun, and Scott Swearingen. Brand and creative by Carrie Clark Design. Music by Audionautix. Learn more at audionautix.com. Find more at mostlysuperheroes.com.